Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, students. Welcome to our Thursday night lesson summary review. Tonight, we're continuing with our associate's degree course entitled Who Jesus Is. And we're on session number 9 this week, which is dealing with Jesus, the resurrection, and life. I pray that you will be prepared to study this lesson right along with us tonight. I also pray that you are being enriched by this course thus far, as we are in teaching it and reviewing it with you. Now, this session will examine the resurrection of Jesus, the evidence or facts of the resurrection, and how this relates to mankind. And as we always do, students, we want to spend time in prayer, and as we also meditate on the scriptures that we study through our lesson guide, we want tonight to ask God's guidance for setting up our study and our review time. We're going to pray for each one of our staff and students around the world who are studying along with us. This knowledge of who Jesus is so very relevant and so misunderstood by many, even those who profess to be followers of Christ. Now, also one of the things that we want you to do as you go through the rest of this lesson is to set a goal of memorizing at least 5 scripture verses that pertain to this lesson this week. And so as we prepare to study and go over this lesson review tonight, I want you to be sure, students, to review the previous lesson so that you will be able to better answer the questions that others that you may minister to may have, or be able to minister or answer questions that those that are close to you may have about Jesus. We understand that even as we study these scriptures, this is certainly an exercise in faith. For a lot of the things that the scripture speaks of concerning Jesus and who he is and the way God has manifested himself to us in the world is a difficult thing to relate to in the natural sense. But in the spiritual sense, they become clear to us by the revelation of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things that we want to comment on as we begin this week's study, I'm going to go over that for you in just a moment. Let's go ahead and get that word of prayer in, students, and seeking God's guidance and direction for our lesson review tonight. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. We ascribe worth to you, for you alone are worthy. We thank you, Father, for the revelation of Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that makes him known to us. Help us to embrace the knowledge that we have of you. Help us to communicate the message clearly to those who are seeking for life and truth and peace. And may that answer be found for them in the revelation of Jesus Christ, who is our resurrection and our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Again, students, I welcome you to our Tuesday evening lesson summary review. We're going over our associate's degree course, Who Jesus Is. And we're on session 9 of this course, which is entitled Jesus, the Resurrection, and Life. Now, as we think about the introduction for this week's lesson, our study guide points us to several key highlights that we're going to review for you tonight. And I also like to comment that for most of us, we understand or are familiar with one of the most important days on what's called the church calendar. It's a day called Easter Sunday. This day represents the day that Jesus arose from the tomb. And as we look at history and the scriptures, it tells that this event occurred nearly 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago. Yet, every year, it commands the world's attention. So I want you to think of or share some of the symbolism that you use to observe this day called Easter, which represents Christ's victory over death. Where resurrection means to come back alive again. following a death. I also like to stress with each and every one of you that the resurrection, the fact that Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried, and 3 days later, he arose. This fact of the resurrection is the centerpiece of Christianity. Without it, Christianity would be just another religion, another philosophy. Even the Jesus that we know to be our King, the one who claimed to be the Son of God, we see that he was able to raise others from the dead. And the resurrection speaks to the fact that he himself was raised from death by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we see as we go through this lesson that Jesus, through his death and resurrection, is the author of life to those who trust in him. Now, we're going to briefly go over the outline for this week's lesson, and we're going to make special note that Jesus' resurrection affects our lives both now and in the future, and we're going to see how our lesson presented that to us. Now, the first outline that our study guide pointed us to was Jesus gains victory over death. We're going to look at that, and in the second half of this review, we're going to see how Jesus guarantees our resurrection. So with that being said, let's take a look at our first objective that we have for this course. The first objective asks us to list facts which show that Jesus has conquered death. And so the first thing that our lesson points us to was the miracles of resurrection. The miracles of resurrection you find on pages 156 to 157 of your study guide. The first thing that we're going to look at, the first example of recorded miracles, is that we're going to recount the miracles of Jesus raising three particular people. We're going to see Jesus raise the daughter of Jairus from death. We see Jesus raise the widow of Nain's son from death. And he also raised Lazarus from the dead. When you think about these three examples in Scripture, we see that Jesus has the power to bring people back to life again. And so I want to ask you a question here. What is apparent from these three accounts, the raising of Jairus' daughter, the raising of the widow of Nain's son, and the raising of Lazarus from the dead? Well, we see three apparent things from these accounts. And that is that Jesus had compassion on those who were suffering the loss of a loved one, and we see that he had great spiritual power. Every one of these instances, we see that he spoke, and each one was raised from the dead. Now, we can contrast what we just read there with some Old Testament accounts of people praying to God to raise others from the dead. And if you're taking notes, you can make note of these two scripture references. You'll see 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 17 to 24, and also make note of 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. And these two portions of scripture tell of the prophets Elijah and Elisha raising the dead. One of the things we're going to note about these accounts in the Old Testament is that while Jesus spoke and life was restored, the prophets prayed to God, asking him to perform the miracle. So we see their spiritual power was not from within. They didn't have the actual authority to raise the dead, but they petitioned God on behalf of the dead person, and God granted life back to them. So we see Jesus actually had life within him. He spoke life, and life came. And this represents Christ as the Son of God, the representative of God in the earth. And in fact, we see that Jesus is indeed God in the flesh. So we understand this from the miracles of resurrection, how Jesus gains victory over death. Another part of this understanding of our section here is the proof of the resurrection of Jesus. Not only did Jesus have the power to raise others, but the proof of his own resurrection depicted who he was. And here's an exercise sheet that we have for this section. You can contact us for a copy of it if you're studying about distance education. There are these 9 scripture references, 9 points about the proofs of Jesus' resurrection that I'm going to give you right here. So if you have a blank sheet of paper, you can write down the proofs of Jesus' resurrection. And the first proof that we see in Scripture is the report of the Roman soldiers. You'll find examples of this in Matthew chapter 28, verses 11 to 15. The second example is the empty tomb and the grave cloths. You see an example of that in John chapter 20, verse 1 through 9. A third proof of Jesus' resurrection is the angel's message to Mary that he had risen. You'll see an example of that in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 7. Here's a fourth proof of Jesus' resurrection in Scripture is the appearance of Jesus after his resurrection. You see reference for that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Here's a fifth one. A fifth proof of Jesus' resurrection is the nature of Jesus' body after he was resurrected. You see a reference in Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 45. I have at least 4 more for you. Number 6, a sixth proof of Jesus' resurrection is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can see accounts in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, as well as Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, and Acts 2, verses 1 through 47. These talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a proof of Jesus' resurrection. A seventh proof is the testimony of Christians. See the example in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Number 8, here's the eighth proof of Jesus' resurrection found in Scripture is the conversion of Saul. You can read the account of his conversion in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, as well as Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 22. And here's the final proof that our study guide and lesson pointed us to about Jesus' resurrection is the fact that they are followers of Christ today. The followers of Christ or Christianity is a proof of Jesus' resurrection. You see a reference for this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 23. So then we have 9 proofs of Jesus' resurrection that is recorded in Scripture. And so these things speak not only to the fact, as we said earlier, that Jesus had the power to raise other people from the dead, but the proof of his resurrection, his being raised from the dead, also speaks to the fact that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And so we see he even spoke to Jesus of Nazareth when they told Jesus that Lazarus had died, and Jesus asked to show me where he lay, and they did not fully understand that Jesus represented life in the earth. And so he told Mary that I am the resurrection and the life. And we see scriptures to verify Jesus' statements, not only through the miracles of him raising others from the dead, but the fact that he was raised from the dead. So we see Jesus gained victory over death by the miracles of resurrection. We see the proof of Jesus' resurrection, and also let's understand something about the power of his resurrection. This is our second objective in this lesson review. It talks about 6 benefits for our life that comes from the resurrection of Jesus. So we see that the resurrection wasn't just a stagnant moment in history. It wasn't just an event that happened on one particular day, and the activity of God or Jesus ceased to affect humanity from that day forward. No, we see that the power of Jesus' resurrection affects lives over the course of the 2,000 years since his resurrection, and continues to do so today as others embrace who he is. So let's look at six benefits of Jesus' resurrection that affects our life. And you can make note of these. If you have a blank sheet of paper, you can write down the six benefits that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus. Number one, we have power to overcome self-will. Because now Jesus says, when I depart, I'm going to send you another comforter. The Holy Spirit is going to dwell in you. It's going to be your guide, your counselor, your counselor, your comforter. It's going to point us to truth. So one thing we have because of the resurrection of Jesus is that we have the power to overcome our self-will. That is to submit to the will of God. Another benefit we have because of Jesus is physical health. We know, and according to the prophecy in Isaiah 53, that by his stripes we were healed, and that we can call upon the name of Jesus for healing. A third benefit we have, I mentioned earlier to you, is that we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Number four, because of Jesus' resurrection, we are future joint heirs with Christ. Number five, in addition to being future joint heirs, we are future kings and priests unto Christ. And the sixth additional benefit that our lesson talked with us about was that we have a future reign with Christ. We will rule and reign right along with him. And I ask you to do some research to search out the scripture references in your Bible that contain the information about these six additional benefits that we receive because of Jesus' resurrection. So we see the resurrection did not only affect those who Jesus brought back to life while he walked on earth. Not only do we see the proof of his own resurrection, but we see the power of his resurrection at work in our lives and all of those who have accepted him even to this day. Tonight we're studying our course, Who Jesus Is. We're on session number 9, which is talking about Jesus, the resurrection, and the life. So thus far, we reviewed our section of our lesson that talked about how Jesus gained victory over death. Now let's talk about the second part of our lesson that our study guide brought us to, and that is that Jesus guarantees our resurrection. Hallelujah. So our third objective will talk about or ask us to describe the future of those who believe in Jesus. And so first thing we see the lesson talked about is in the case of Jesus guaranteeing our resurrection is his promise. Someone say his promise. Now, if we were to take a look at John chapter 11, verses 25 to 26, you see the promise that Jesus made to his early disciples, and this relates to all of those who since that time have placed their faith in Jesus. So as you review that portion of scripture, John 11, verses 25 to 26, I like to comment that Jesus' promise of resurrection life to believers covers two realms. It covers the now, and it covers the future. So if we were to take a look at our visual aid that is a part of this lesson right here, it depicts this illustration a little bit more about the promise of resurrection life. So Jesus not only promised that in the future, if we look at the book of Revelation, will we have a resurrection from the dead, but we have resurrection life now, is what the lesson wants us to understand. So let's understand what that means for us. If we look at the fact that we have a resurrection now, have a blank sheet of paper. You can contact us for this visual. We'll send it to you by email. But if you'd like to take notes, get a blank sheet of paper and write at the top of it, resurrection life now. And we're going to have two columns. on the left-hand side of your paper, column one will be old man, the old man. And then on the right side, make another list called the new man. And so let's deal with the old man, show that these are the things that we are dead to, and then we'll talk about the things that we have been made alive to even now. Here's the old man things. Here's the first thing under the old man is sexual immorality. We die or must die to this. Then we have impurity, lust, evil desires. These are all things that relate to the old man. Here are several more. Greed, anger, rage. We can also see that we die or have died to malice, slander, filthy language, and lying. All the things that we just mentioned here are part of the old man or the person that should die or is dying in us. And once this part of our lives dies, Jesus, by the power of his resurrection, gives us a new life or become a new creature in Christ, as Paul expressed in his letter to the Corinthians. So let's list some of the things that our resurrection life now represents as opposed to the old man. Here are the things under the new man. Number one, holiness. I mean, we are set apart for God's purposes. We have compassion, kindness, and humility. Also, part of our new man or the resurrected life that we experience now is gentleness, patience, bearing with each other, forgiving one another. And several more is that because of the new life that we have in Christ now, we can love our enemies as well as our friends. We have peace, and we have thankfulness. These things list the new man as opposed to the old man. So this visual aid depicts the resurrection life that we now have. And of course, one day this corruptible body will be made incorruptible. This mortal body will be made immortal. That is the resurrection life to come. But in the meantime, we experience new life and victory over death, even over spiritual death, now, because of Jesus' resurrection. So I pray that you'll be able to really grasp that, understand that, and be able to communicate these truths to others so that their faith can become more firm in Christ Jesus. Here are several scripture references I want to give you for what the exercise sheet just talked about. You can make note of Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, where it contrasts the old man with the new man. So we see here that the qualities of the new man that we talk about are life-producing, whereas the qualities of the old man lead to death. So the old man is weakened by the burden of sin that he carries around with him. But when we come to a new life in Christ, we put off the old man, as Paul mentioned, and we become a new man, or we receive a new life, a resurrection life, even now. Praise God. Now, let me ask you a question here, students, as we look at this, continue looking at our third objective. What will heaven or the kingdom of heaven be like? And the study guide pointed us to the fact of a passage from Revelation chapter 21 and Revelation 22. Here's some references you can look at about what the kingdom of heaven would be like. This is when we inherit that eternal life or resurrection life to come. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 through 4. You can look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. Revelation chapter 22, verses 3 through 5. As well as Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. You see as you read those portions of scripture that the curse will be removed. All the negatives of life, such as sorrow and pain, death, will be gone, and there will be eternal life, as well as rewards according to what believers have done. Now, I ask you to carefully read Revelation chapter 21, verses 24 to 27, and Revelation 22, verses 12 to 16. I want you to specifically make note of those two portions of Scripture during your study time. And as you review those portions of Scripture, I'd like to ask you this question. How does one's present life reflect on his future in eternity? First, as an unbeliever, and then secondly, as a believer. How does our life today affect our life in the future? Well, the answer that the study guide gives us, and I want to remind you of right now, students, is the promise of eternal life is clearly for the believer. The unbeliever will have no entry into the kingdom of heaven. They'll be eternally separated from God. That'd be the absence of life for the unbeliever. So we see that Jesus guarantees our resurrection based on his promises that he's made in the scriptures. Now let's talk about the fulfillment of what Jesus guaranteed. Our study guide pointed to the fact that the scriptures repeatedly warn us to be faithful and ready, looking and anticipating the Lord's return. And one of the most vivid passages is the parable of the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. But only 5 were ready and gained access into the wedding banquet when Jesus finally came, or the bridegroom finally came. You see a reference to this in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Also, students, I'd like to refer you to these particular portions of Scripture for your review. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 57, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. These portions of Scripture describe how quickly we will be changed when Christ returns. It states that it will be in a twinkling or in a flash of an eye, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 52. So the twinkling of an eye is faster than an eye blink. The twinkling is actually the speed of light, which is about 186,000 miles per second. So I want each and every one of you to pray a prayer of repentance. Try to pray a prayer of repentance before you can blink your eye. And you will see the danger of thinking that we can wait to make a last minute commitment to Christ. So it will happen in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye. If you read Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 40, you will understand that Christ will come quietly and quickly as a thief, and people are not expecting him. So in conclusion for this lesson review tonight about Jesus, the resurrection and life, we see that Jesus gained victory over death through the miracles of resurrection, through the proofs of his resurrection and the power of his resurrection. And we see Jesus guarantees our resurrection through his promise, and we see the fulfillment of his promise. So again, students, I want you to prayerfully consider how you will live now in light of the study of the resurrection of Christ and the guarantee of resurrection to believers. And I also want you to think about the visual aid that we gave you about the old man and the new man. And make sure that your life is representing the newness, the new life that Christ has given you. If you find areas that you're struggling in, ask the Lord to take these things away from you. Because we want each and every one of you to experience a changed life now, which will lead to a changed life to come. So we're going to pray for every one of you students. We're going to ask God to help each one of you to walk in obedience and to live a godly life that God is pleased with. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had to study your word. We know that your word is true. May your word impact and affect our lives, empower us to obtain new life and resurrection now and in the future to come. We thank you and praise you for this life now. We thank you for the victory that we have over death. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Students, thank you so much for allowing me this time to review this lesson with you. I look forward to our next session. In the meantime, may the Spirit of the Lord continue to be with you and bless you, and good night.